Sustainability framework is set to begin in 2027. USGC's director in China, Manuel Sanchez, says this was a perfect time to introduce the CSAP to the Chinese market and leverage the great work U.S. farmers are already doing to enhance their market share in China. AMP Americas, a dairy renewable natural gas company, has completed a project that converts dairy waste into RNG. There are 12 operating digesters in Wisconsin, Indiana, Idaho, and Minnesota. The project utilizes continuously stirred tank reactor anaerobic digesters to convert 90,000 gallons of dairy cow waste per day into renewable energy. The project captures methane that would otherwise be released into the atmosphere, purifies it, and then injects it into the Alliant Energy natural gas pipeline. After 4 years of highly disruptive conditions, global poultry markets are moving toward more normal market conditions. Rabobank says most of the global growth was driven by strong local market conditions rather than trade. The U.S. and EU are performing well this year with relatively strong demand, controlled producer growth, and rising prices. Overly aggressive growth rates in China and Japan have increased supply and reduced profitability.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment. All things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
For over 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been providing news and information for the most important industry in the world, agriculture. The Ag Information Network gives you worldwide updates from local producers to regional organizations, from major crops like wheat and corn to animal agriculture to specialty crops like apples, almonds, and cherries. We report on stories that mean the most to you. Online at aginfo.net, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism lasting for the next generation.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Microsoft and chip giant AMD will report their fourth quarter earnings after the closing bell today. Wall Street is hoping the massive number of AI investments will start paying off. Pfizer raising its 2024 earnings prospects after its second quarter revenue beat Wall Street predictions. The drug maker attributing its better-than-expected performance to sales growth for non-COVID-related drugs, including the blood thinner Eliquis. Meanwhile, shares of Merck plummeting Tuesday with its worst day in 3 years after giving a mixed outlook for 2024. The drug maker did report higher-than-expected sales in the second quarter, particularly of the cancer treatment drug Keytruda. Job openings and the hiring rate fell slightly in June amid signs of a slowing labor market. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013, 800-444-2013, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves of what it is we're trying to preserve in this country. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Every once in a while, all of us native-born Americans should make it a point to have a conversation with one who is an American by choice. It can do a lot to strengthen our resolve to be free for another 200 years. In a dinner at Mount Vernon back in Revolutionary times, Lafayette turned to his host and said, "General Washington, you Americans, even in war and desperate times, have a superb spirit. You're happy and you're confident. Why is it?" Washington answered, "There's freedom, there is space for a man to be alone and think, and there are friends who owe each other nothing but affection." So simple an answer and so true. Now, 200 years later, our self-respect as a nation has undergone a strain. At times, it has seemed as if the symbol of American power has become our departing ambassador, flag under his arm, boarding a rescue helicopter. But there's an awful lot of that other America still around. Like beauty, it may be in the eye of the beholder. A few years back, a woman who had fled from Poland wrote a letter and said, "Among some of our American-born friends, it is not fashionable to be enthusiastic about America. There's Vietnam, drugs, urban and racial conflict, poverty and pollution. Undoubtedly, this country faces urgent and serious problems. But we newcomers see not only the problems, but also solutions being sought and applied." She goes on to say, "I love America because people accept me for what I am. They don't question my ancestry, my faith, my political beliefs. When I want to move from one place to another, I don't have to ask permission. When I need a needle, I go into the nearest store and get one. I don't have to stand in line for hours to buy a piece of tough, fat meat. Even with inflation, I don't have to pay a day's earnings for a small chicken. I love America because America trusts me. I don't have to show an identity card to buy a pair of shoes. My mail isn't censored, and my conversations with friends aren't reported to the secret police." Well, on July 5th, the London Daily Mail filled its editorial page with an article by Ferdinand Mount, in which he sharply criticized his fellow Britons and other Europeans who delight in lambasting the United States. He said, "What the world needs now is more Americans. The United States is the first nation on earth deliberately dedicated to letting people choose what they want and giving them a chance to get it. For all its terrible faults, in one sense, America still is the last best hope of mankind because it spells out so vividly the kind of happiness which most people actually want, regardless of what they're told they ought to want." He concluded by saying, "We criticize, copy, patronize, idolize, insult, but we never doubt that the United States has a unique position in the history of human hopes, for it is the only nation founded solely on a moral dream. A part of our own future is tied up in it, and the greatest of all the gifts the Americans have given us is hope." Thank you, Mr. Mount. We needed that. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday, it's 1230, and it's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Our guests today and topics are, right now we have Laura Ochoa and Alan Abrams from Kosciuszko County. We're going to talk about the role of court-appointed special advocates, how Kosciuszko County advocates for the best interests of abused and neglected children, and how you can become a volunteer and help. Laura and Alan, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you so much, Barry. Hi, everyone.
At 1 o'clock, we have Edward Ring, who's the Director of Water and Energy Policy at the California Policy Center. We're going to talk about how his vision of taking back California, current state of play in the California's energy and water economies, and Trump and the fate of Western civilization. You can call in with questions or comments. 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. All right, so Laura, you know, let's do some self-introductions here. Laura, you have quite a background here, and why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and then how you ended up at Castislo County?
Oh, sure. Thank you, Barry. I'm Laura Ochoa. I'm the training manager for CASA of San Luis Obispo. I also handle recruitment and DEI efforts for CASA, and I am also a volunteer advocate for three teenage boys.
Wow.
How I ended up with CASA is I did this down in San Diego. I've been a CASA for about 15 years. My job was as the field marketing director for AT&T in Southern California. And when I moved up here, and I say I'm too young to say the retired word, so I say when I graduated from AT&T, I came up to the Central Coast and continued my work as a CASA up here.
And I see you also play drums at a grunge band, huh?
I've played drums for many years, and I do specialize in 90s grunge.
90s grunge.
You bet.
Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind the next time I want to have a grunge band at an event. And Alan, you come from the tech world. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. I spent about 40 years in high-tech sales up in Silicon Valley. Stressful job. And I retired about 2 years ago, and my wife and I decided to move down here to the Central Coast.
And you're a marathon runner, huh?
I've run over 50 marathons, 5 ultra marathons, and countless half marathons and 10Ks.
And how long have you been a volunteer for Castislo County?
I've been volunteering for CASA for about 18 months now. This is my first opportunity as a CASA volunteer.
Oh, very cool. All right, so let's... So just so the audience knows, the CASA is an acronym for Court-Appointed Special Advocate. So, Laura, what exactly is a CASA volunteer, and what is their role?
Okay, so a CASA volunteer, we take adult volunteers, people from the community, we train them, and we send them through a pretty intense training. And when they come out, often the CASA is the one consistent and reliable adult in the lives of these foster kids. So the CASA will get to know the kids, we'll initiate fun outings together, and we will also be advocates, meeting with social workers, doctors, attorneys, all the people in the child's life, just to make sure that nothing is falling through the cracks with the services that could really help the child.
And again, let's back up for a second. What is the history of the CASA program? Because there's CASA programs all over the country, really, aren't they?
There are. CASA has a wonderful history. So CASA was started in the late 70s by Judge Supkoff up in Seattle. And the judge was concerned that he was making really big decisions about the future of foster kids without a lot of information. He did have the social workers' court report. And social workers, God bless them, they worked very hard, but they have a lot of kids that each one of them is assigned to. So he thought, you know, if I could get some adult volunteers from the local community to volunteer to see the kids weekly and then write a court report for me, I think that would give me a lot more information. And so with that weekly court report that the kids, that the CASA see the kids and make all the notes on, basically, now the judge has two reports that the judge can read, one from the social worker, one from the CASA. And again, it really helps the judges to make better decisions because the CASA has the finger on the pulse.
And the volunteers are actually vetted by the court, correct?
Yes, we are court appointed. And that does allow us to gather information from all those sources that I talked about, attorneys, doctors, dentists, therapists, everybody in the child's life.
Mm-hmm. What kind of training do the folks get?
Oh, it's a wonderful training. So basically, it's 40 hours, and that takes place in 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's 2 hours every night, twice a week. And then after that, and that's part in-person training and also self-paced online classes as well.
And then there's ongoing training too, huh?
Yes, we offer in-service trainings every month on different topics. And those are wonderful for our current CASAs to keep, keeping accurate and you know, in the know of what's happening with their kiddos.
And you're a nonprofit, correct?
Yes, we are a 502c3, excuse me, nonprofit. Yes.
And so based on your website, and maybe the numbers have to be updated, but currently you have 149 volunteers and are servicing about 186 children with a staff of 13. Is those numbers pretty accurate?
Well, we have 168 volunteers,
wow,
14 staff members, and we serve 244 children.
You need to update your website then.
Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Well, no, and I guess as I mentioned before the show, I mean, I find this, it's incredible that we have so many children because we're going to talk about this in a bit. You have 119 that are looking for
yes,
volunteers right now, but this is a really troubling topic to me, why we have so many kids that need this kind of support. And again, based on the CASA website, and I'm sure this must be California statistics, but you know, underage one, there's 15.1% are abused or neglected. 1 to 2, 13.4% of the kids are abused or neglected. 3 to 5, 18.1%, and 6 to 10, almost 27% of the kids have issues here. What Alan? What are you finding out there? What are your kids? What are the biggest problems that they're facing? How many children are you helping?
So I'm working with one young boy. He's 11 years old, mm-hmm. And the biggest challenge that I see for him is that you've got so many people coming in and out of this child's life. All of them are paid to be there in one way or another. You have a social worker, you have a therapist, you may have doctors and physical therapists, you have foster families. The children get confused, they get lost, they lose connection to a single person in their life that can help direct them, listen to them, and care about them. And that's what I serve as a CASA. I'm not paid. I'm there because I want to be. I want to help this youth, and I want to see that youth succeed.
What are some of the root causes of their problems? You know, what are you seeing mostly, Laura, over time?
Well, the majority of our cases are because of substance abuse, drugs or alcohol, and the children are removed because of the parental use.
And there's oftentimes they're separated from siblings as well, correct?
Yes, the social workers really try to keep sibling groups together if possible. But the challenge comes with the foster homes and the capability of each foster home to be able to house several siblings.
What do you find in your experience? What are the most important aspects of the program? What kind of things do you do with the kids when you're with them? Alan, let's give Alan a shot here again.
Yeah. Oh, we do a lot of wonderful activities. I'll tell you, the first one was taking my youth to the movie theater. He had never been to a movie theater.
Really?
At 10 years old. We go hiking at Montana de Oro and many of the other beautiful parks here in Slo County. We've been to the circus. We've been to museums. We've gone to paintballing. Sometimes it's just going to McDonald's or Starbucks and sitting for an hour and having a meal together and just listening to the youth be a sounding board and let them tell you about their day and show interest in what they're doing.
And what about you, Laura? You've got three.
I have three.
How old are they? What ages?
They're in their mid-teens. And I'm a tomboy, so I go play basketball and football and all those fun things with the kids, which they love. Mm-hmm. And one of the wonderful benefits is we have amazing community partners that give us tickets, mm-hmm. so that the CASAs can take their kiddos, like the Great American Melodrama, Performing Arts Center at Cal Poly, Circus Vargas, when they were here, they gave us
a bunch
of tickets. And, you know, we encourage our volunteers to take advantage of that and just go take the kids to fun things, because a lot of times, Barry, these kids have not had a chance to just be a kid. Mm-hmm. So our endeavors and our outings take them out of that worry zone just for a little while so that they can be a kid.
So again, you know, obviously you're looking for more volunteers. So folks can get that information on your website, CASA Slo County. Take a little bit more time and describe the training program. What's the intake process look like, and then ongoing training? I'm interested in that, actually.
Okay, wonderful. So if someone's interested in volunteering, the first step is to go to our website, as you say, and that's slocasa.org, slocasa.org, and you'll click on volunteer, and you'll fill out the form, and you will take a 1.5-hour info session on Zoom with me. And then once that finishes, you'll fill out the application and we'll schedule you for an interview, which takes place in person at our offices. And once that happens, we do background checks on all of our potential volunteers, and then you'll be into the training. And as I said, it's 40 hours. Half is in person with me, half is online, self-paced. Once that is done, you get sworn in by the judge, the dependency court judge. You get all of the information about your case. And then the most important thing, of course, is after all that's done, you go and you meet your wonderful kiddo.
Yeah. So what kind of positive outcomes are you seeing with the children after a period of time with their volunteer?
Oh, it makes such a wonderful difference. There was a study done by the University of Houston about what happens when a CASA is connected to a foster child. And of course, these foster children are going through the most difficult time they've probably ever gone through in their lives. So 40% more services are offered, which is great because the CASA is seeing the child actively weekly and is able to, you know, click in and say, hey, you know what, this child could really use some tutoring to help focus on school. The foster parent, maybe the social worker, hadn't come up with that solution yet. So the cost is an extra set of eyes to kind of click in with some supplemental services, which is great. The kids are going to do better in school. They're going to be have higher grades. They're going to be less likely to be expelled. And then, of course, that intrinsic hope that's in every child is going to grow because they have somebody standing with them in their corner. So optimism, you know, and the CASA helps the child focus on the future and what the child can control, which is a whole different scenario than what they're used to.
How many children who are part of the CASA program, you have a pretty high percentage of them that come back and become volunteers themselves after they've grown up?
You know what? That's interesting. We have a lot of previous foster youth that, you know, click back in because they were helped or maybe they weren't helped. And sometimes during the interview process, I've heard, you know, I wish I would have had a CASA like this when I was growing up. I think it would have made a big difference. So we do have people that volunteer that want to turn around and help others.
Last week, Dan Dow was on the show and we started talking a little bit about the human trafficking problem in Slo County. What are you seeing in this area? And have you seen an uptick of this?
Well, youth, you know, in the foster care system are more vulnerable to this type of issue. We haven't seen a lot in our office, but we do have in-service trainings for volunteers to kind of check on the signs and be proactive if they see anything that's concerning. And we also took a lot of our kids to what's called the Cool Aunt Series, which was an amazing teen-centered program that really showed, you know, what could happen with social media and some other ways that these traffickers pull the children in by all sorts of, deceptive methods. So we did that, and we also had pizza that we served to the kids. So we actually had a really good attendance with this program.
Do you partner with the sheriff's department or the local police on this kind of stuff?
We didn't. The Cool Aunt series is a whole separate entity in and of itself.
Okay.
So, and it's a gal that was trafficked herself,
wow,
and she has some other colleagues, and she tells you exactly what happened to her, how they groomed her, you know, for this kind of situation. And it really helps to draw awareness as to what could happen. So,
a lot of that happens through the phones, right?
Yes,
their cell phones are online. Are you training the kids to what to watch out for online when they're old enough?
Yeah, and we also train our volunteers, so again, they can talk to the kids proactively about some of these things that could happen. How the kids again are kind of drawn in very slowly. You know, let me buy you some of this. Let me do this for you. Let me do that for you. And then, you know, things kind of hit the opposite way.
Alan, do you have those kind of conversations with your 10-year-old?
Well, not quite. A little bit more obtuse with a 10-year-old. And he doesn't have a phone.
Oh, good.
So I don't have that problem.
But he probably gets online and does all that.
He does get online. And we do talk about safety online. And we talk about, you know, understanding and questioning what you're seeing and what you're reading. And I always encourage him, if you see something that's unpleasant, disturbing, you don't understand, you can come to me and talk to me about it and ask. You can talk to your foster family about it, but mm-hmm. you know, don't be frightened.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, again, I think that's, yeah, I think it's a really, how can I say it? It's a dangerous world out there for kids, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm yes. sure you see it every day. Do you have kids of your own, Laura?
I don't. Okay. I was Miss Corporate America, and so I didn't do the kid thing.
And but how about you, Alan?
I have two adult sons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are they amazed that you're doing this work?
They are. My wife and both my children are pretty amazed. This is something that was so far removed from my personality and my life up until this point.
Yeah. How's it changed your life?
I've become so much more empathetic and understanding of other people's lives, other cultures. My youth is of a different culture than mine. Mm-hmm. So very different beliefs, very different understandings of the world. There's economic and social differences. So again, it's made me a much more empathetic and understanding person.
How do you guys interface with the parents of these children? What's that like?
Every situation is different. Remember that these are foster children,
That's
most
true.
Likely in foster homes, okay. unless they're in a trial situation, which is called family maintenance with their actual parents to see, you know, how things are going. So we talk to the foster parent. Obviously, logistically, we have to connect with them regarding visit times and dates. So we do talk to them, and, you know, again, we're interviewing these people so that we can get the information we need to make good suggestions to the court.
And again, I mean, these kids can bounce around from foster family to foster family a lot, don't they?
They do, and that's why that one consistent, reliable adult, CASA, is so important to their well-being.
Do you ever have a problem with the natural parents trying to get to the kids, and how do you protect them from that?
You know, it's interesting because sometimes people would think that the foster parents, or excuse me, the bio parents who can't see their kids as regularly as they'd like to are jealous of the CASA because we can take the kids and this and that. But the three boys that I'm assigned to, all three of their mothers, when I've seen them, have thanked me for the time that I spend with their children. So they really love their children.
What's it been like for you dealing with, not dealing, I mean, you know, interfacing with the foster parents, Alan?
You know, all the cases are different. They're all so very unique. In my instance, the biological mother has been a difficult relationship with social services, with me as a CASA, and with their two children, because there's another a brother involved in the case. So she's not involved, and the biological father is in another part of the state. So that becomes a little bit more difficult to try and manage relationships.
Are you finding that a lot of the biological parents are homeless?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, most of the families come at or below the poverty line.
Yeah, okay. Well, when we return, we're going to talk about how CASA SLO County gets funded, and their upcoming event in September they're going to talk about. And there's going to be one more call out for volunteers. So we really want to, and we're going to let Laura dig into that a bit. So folks, stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash, Paso Glass is where it's at.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Laura Ochoa and Alan Abrams from the Casas Lo County. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Laura, you have a great story to share with our listeners about, you know, your three little ones.
Yeah, so a few years back, I was assigned to two brothers. One was 8 and one was 10 years old. And we were going to the museum. This is down in San Diego. And we were at a stoplight. The older one's next to me. The little one is in the back seat, and there was a gentleman with a sign asking for help in the middle of the street, so I gave him some money. And we turned the corner, and the little one said, how come you gave that man money? And I said, well, we try to help people when we can. And that's all I said. So we're go forward. We're in the museum. We're having a great time. We come out a couple hours later, and I'm talking to the older one, and I'm looking, where's the little one? All of a sudden he comes running up and I said, hey buddy, what were you doing? And he said, well, I was holding the door for those people because you said we should try to help people when we can.
Yeah. So that's really, I mean, one of the things that you do for these kids is you really give them good values. You know, they probably don't have a lot of role models when it comes to values. What do you think about that, Alan?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Again, I go back to the fact that these kids are bouncing around. They lost the contact with their biological parents. They've got all of these strange people in their life. And we offer an opportunity to impart some of our values to them and to show them that they've got an opportunity in life to succeed, no matter where they started from.
Well, you know, this is such important work, really. So, Laura, why don't you unpack, where do you guys get your funding from? Or is there a lot of pressure right now with the cutbacks in the state budget and all that kind of stuff? What's going on for you on there?
Yes, there is some pressure, of course, and we've had to be a little bit more high and tight in our approach to things. Since we are 502c3 nonprofit, we do get grants. We do get funding from grants, different events like our upcoming fundraiser. We have community partners, business partners, individual donors, and contracts. Grants are our largest source of funding, and we receive them from public and private sources like Slo City, different family foundations, California CASA, the larger entity for California, and others. So, and events, again, are important fundraisers for us.
So tell us what you've got going here on September 7th at the Rock.
Yes, at the Slow Brew Rock.
Are you going to be playing the drums?
Maybe just on the counters next to my beer. it's called Rendezvous, and it is at Slow Brew Rock on September 7th. We are going to honor our wonderful board president, Gil Stork, who's been a real prominent member of the Slow community. Tickets go very fast. It does sell out every year. Rhonda Sims is our event coordinator, rsims at slowcasa.org. And, we would love to have everybody come out, even if you just like to help us and be a volunteer at the event. We would love to have you.
Well, good. And people can go to the website. What's the website address and get more information on this?
It is. It's slowcasa.org, S-L-O. CASA.org.
Great. And do you do other events throughout the year?
Yeah, we do a few other things. We always have different events, like I'm going to one tomorrow night, which is a cooking class that one of our supervisors is organizing for our teens to be able to learn how to cook. So the CASAs take their kiddos to that event, and that's really fun for the kids. Plus, they learn something.
That's great. So in the last few minutes we have left, and I want you to unpack this, Laura and Alan. You know, you've got, I think in the number you gave me, you've got 119 kids who need a CASA. A lot of them, I think the majority of them are in the North County here.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you looking for? And again, let's see if we can't get you some more volunteers.
Oh, we would love that, Barry. Thank you. Yes, definitely more volunteers. We really need men right now, because there's nothing like a male role model and mentor for our teen boys. Mm-hmm. And we also would like Spanish speakers, because some of the bio parents are exclusively Spanish speaking, and it would really help if we had some bilingual volunteers to be able to click in with the bio parents as well.
That's great. That's great. And so, again, where do they get the information? That's on the website again, correct?
It's on the website, or they can call our office, which is 805-541-6542, and they can be directed to coming in and volunteering.
That would be great. Alan, any last and final words as we come up on the top of the hour?
Yeah, Barry, I just want to echo what Laura said. We desperately need men. So if you've got a slice of time in your week or a portion of your heart available, consider going to the website, take a look at what we do, and see if you can help make a difference in the life of a youth.
Yeah. Laura, have we forgotten anything here that you wanted to touch on?
Oh, I just really appreciate you, Barry, for letting us come in and talk with you today. And hope really does need a helping hand. So I hope if you're in a position 1 to 2 hours per week, as Alan said, to consider volunteering as a CASA. If you can't do that, the best way that we get new volunteers is referrals from friends and family. So please pass the volunteer opportunity on to friends and family.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, listen, it's rare that I run out of questions here for you, but anything special, Alan, that, you know, Laura had that story about her little one. Is there any kind of epiphany moments you had with your guy?
Well, I think I go back to that, you know, not ever being in a movie theater in 10 years when I took my youth to see, we went and see one of those King Kong versus Godzilla movies in downtown Slo, and his eyes were, you know, as big as spaceships, and he just had such a wonderful, wonderful time, and we walked out, and you can tell he was, you know, smile on his face and really happy. And it's those kind of moments that really make a difference.
Great. Well, Laura and Alan, thank you so much, folks. Please, if you have it in you, please take the time, check out CASA Slo County on the website and see if you got some time to volunteer. We'll be back on the other side of the break with Edward Ring from the California Policy Center, and this should be a really great session. So stay tuned. We'll talk to you soon.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.